Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes, and I'm so glad you're able to join me today. We are going to talk about suffering. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're suffering and you go to your Bible, where is the first place you will look? The book of Job, right? No, that's probably the last place you would look. But today's show is all about 10 lessons on suffering from the book of Job. The book of Job has gotten me through, I would say, one of the most difficult times in my life. I'm going to give you 10 lessons that you can learn from Job, and I promise you, these are going to help you. This is based on an article that I wrote for the National Catholic Register, and we're going to cover these 10 lessons on suffering from the book of Job on the program today. They're simple, and I just know that they will help you if you give them a shot. I want to thank you for listening into the program week after week. I thank you for sharing the good news about this show with those you know. Please continue to do so. I want to get the word out there. If you're listening on your Catholic radio station, if you're listening through the podcast, if you're listening over the internet, however you listen to the program, please let somebody know this show is available. We do this once a week. My goal is to help those who are struggling to deal with the problems of life. And you know the answer. The answer is the Lord is with us. He never deserts us. He's always there. But we just get blinded sometimes. I remember in our old house, we had carpeting, and the carpeting was a mess. Over the years, it just was disgusting. And one day, my wife decided that it's time to rip up the carpeting and expose the hardwood floors. And once we ripped up this messy carpeting, and this was after years of wear and tear, we had these beautiful hardwood floors underneath. This is the lesson for all of us. We have this joy. We have this peace in us. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We have it there, but we get so distracted with the messiness of life. And I'm not going to lie to you. Life is messy that we lose focus. We lose focus of the fact that the Lord is with us and He dwells in us. I mean, that's a really cool thing. That's not something we ever want to forget. So when it comes to suffering, it's very easy for us to become overwhelmed to the point of despair or hopelessness. There's not a reason for that. That's why I do what I do. That's why I do this show. That's why I write. That's why I speak. And specifically today, we're going to address that nasty, nasty suffering that you might be going through right now and how the Lord, through the book of Job, can help you. Before we do that, I want to remind you, you can find out more about my work, follow my daily blog. You can sign up to get my daily blog in your inbox for free. You could invite me to speak at your parish or your conference. You could find out about my books. You can watch some video samples of my talks even, all by going to followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. Do that today and check out my work available at followingthetruth.com. Okay, it's time to pray. We're going to turn to our Heavenly Father right now and present all our needs. You know, if you are suffering right now, this is the time, because I'm going to lift up your needs and give them to the Father right now, who, by the way, is all-powerful. Wow, that's really, really neat to think about. So let's do that, and I ask you to join me as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this opportunity to be in your presence wherever we are around the world. We recognize that we are in your presence, Heavenly Father, and as the creator of the universe, as the all-powerful, one true God, it's an unbelievable privilege to be able to speak with you. It's an even bigger privilege for you to be our Heavenly Father and to love us and to provide for our needs. So with that in mind, Father, we give you thanks. All glory and honor is yours, Father. It's the one thing we can do as creatures. We can praise you. We can thank you. You make that possible, but that's the way we can show that we love you. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask you to help us. To help us with our problems, with our suffering, whatever needs we have right now, we give them to you. We don't even have to name them because you know what they are. Father, please take care of them. Give us what we need. Even if we don't know what it is that we need, please give us what we need. We ask, Father, for the grace to deal with whatever suffering is taking place in our life right now. We lift up our family, our friends, those who have asked for our prayers. We lift up all who are sick. Father, we ask you to touch them with your healing touch and bring them relief in body and mind and spirit. We ask you, Father, to help those who are homeless, those who are homebound. We ask you to help those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with clinical anxiety or depression. We ask you, Father, to help those who are living in areas where they are persecuted for their faith. I ask you, Father, to work through me on the program today. Give me the words so that your message can come forth on this program. I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to come alive in me so that I can speak your words, and please open all of our minds and our hearts so that we can hear and obey your commands. I ask this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we're going to talk now. By the way, that's amazing that we have that privilege to talk to our Heavenly Father. He loves you. And if you struggle with that, ask the Holy Spirit to pour out his love into your heart. Scripture tells us that. St. Paul tells us that the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So that's something that I struggled with. I knew my Father in heaven loved me. I knew it was on an intellectual level. In my head, I knew, yeah, God loves me, but I didn't feel it. So I started praying for it. And you know what? I really feel it now. So make sure you do that. Do that every day. It might not happen instantaneously. You might have to pray often about it, but keep at it. Say, I really want to feel the love of the Father in my heart. That is going to make all the difference in your life, because once you know and feel that your Heavenly Father loves you and that he wants to provide for your needs, all of a sudden the worries begin to fade away, because there's nothing to be worried about when you know that God loves you and he will provide for you. Make sure you make that part of your prayers. So let's now talk about 10 lessons on suffering from the book of Job. I think it was last year, actually it was probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I was going through a really dark time in my life. I was still in my full-time ministry and things were unraveling for me. Finances were really looking bad. I was struggling. I was trying to figure out where I was supposed to go. And I ended up ultimately working at a local parish. I did that for about a year and a half. Now the Lord has told me to go back into full-time ministry. And I discerned that carefully. And now that's what I do now. I'm in full-time ministry. But at the time I was struggling before, it was really dark for me. I was led to the book of Job. And I found so many answers and so much comfort in the book of Job. And I never forgot that. I marked up my Bible. So recently, when I was asking the Holy Spirit what I should do for my regular article for the National Catholic Register, this came to me. Talk about suffering and go to the book of Job. So I opened up my Bible. I still had all of my notes. I have it highlighted. And I came up with this piece called 10 Lessons on Suffering from the book of Job. And it starts with one of my favorite lines from Job. This is Job chapter 10, verse 1. You might be here right now. You might be at that point where you have just had it. Your life completely stinks. You're fed up. Job 10:1. Listen to this. These are the words of Job. I loathe my life. I mean, that's pretty bad. Now, you might be there right now. It's okay. You need to hang in there because the Lord's right with you and he is guiding you. And you can learn something from this experience. I know you might not feel it at the time, but hang with me. Let's continue to talk about this. And we'll learn 10 lessons on suffering from the book of Job. But understand, when Job spoke those words, he was in a pretty dark place. So you might be there. You might not be quite there. You just might be feeling a little off, a little discouraged. This is still going to help. The first lesson from the book of Job on suffering: we will be tempted. This is Job chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Listen to this. And by the way, this is the devil speaking. It's not often that I quote the devil on this program, but this is productive. This is the devil speaking to the Lord. He said this: "You have blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock are spread over the land. Now put forth your hand and touch anything that he has, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face." Now this is Job speaking to the Lord, and just to set this up a little bit, I'm sorry, this is Satan speaking to the Lord. To set this up, Job was a righteous man. He was a good man, but he had many blessings. So the way this story unfolds, the devil went to the Lord and said, you know what? The reason Job is so righteous and good is because he's been blessed in so many ways. But if you take away some of those blessings and make him suffer a little bit, Satan said, I guarantee he is going to blaspheme you. He's going to curse you. He's only good, Lord, because he has everything he needs. So the Lord said to Satan, okay, you can have control over Job. You can have power over him. And the trials are going to begin. And let's see how this plays out. And this is essentially Satan saying to the Lord, if you let Job suffer a little bit, you're going to see what he's made of. And yeah, we will see what Job's made of. So that's the first lesson. We will be tempted. If Satan tempted Job, if Satan tempted Jesus, I guarantee he's going to tempt you and tempt me. And nowhere is that temptation stronger than when we are suffering. Have you ever been there where you said, that's it, Lord, I've had it with you. You made me suffer. I'm fed up. Why are you doing this to me? I'm not praying anymore. Or I'm not giving any more money to church, right? We've all been there. But that's a mistake. That's the devil trying to get you to turn away from the Lord in the hour where you need him the most. Don't make that mistake. But it's good to know that. It's good to expect that, because then we won't panic when we begin to feel that temptation to curse the Lord. And that doesn't mean you can't cry out to the Lord. What it means is don't make the mistake of turning your back on the Lord, because that's when you need him the most, okay? So number one lesson, we will be tempted. The number two lesson from the book of Job on suffering is that everything we have is a gift from God. Boy, you know, we forget this. We forget this so many times. And here's what happened with Job. He was informed that his sons and daughters had just perished in a great storm. And Job was obviously really upset. And this takes place at the beginning of this story. He tore his cloak and cut off his hair. Now, this is a sign of mourning, of great grief. And he cast himself prostrate on the ground. And here's what he said. This comes from Job chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked I shall go back again. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you imagine losing your family, losing your possessions, or being in some sort of a situation and saying those words? This is a man of great faith. This is a man who recognizes that everything we have is a gift from the Lord. Your good health is a gift from the Lord. Your family is a gift from the Lord. Your house is a good gift from the Lord. Your car is a gift from the Lord. And yet, what do? We complain about our cars. I don't like my car. I wish I could have a better car. I wish I could have a better house. I wish I had more money in the bank. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. But yet, we're forgetting the fact. And believe me, I'm guilty of this. I don't have this down. I am working on this, because this is a problem in my life too. We're forgetting the fact that there are people who don't have enough food to eat for the day. They're starving. I have all kinds of food. It might not be the food I like, but why should I complain about it? Remember, this is what the Israelites did in the desert. They complained that the Lord is sending them manna because they didn't like the taste of the manna. Oh, we want to go back to being slaves because we had better food. That's nuts, but we do that all the time. Recognize that everything you have is a gift from the Lord. And when you do that, you're going to be less likely to hold on to your possessions. And that includes your health. That includes people in your life as well. You're going to be less likely to hold on to them with clenched fists. I can't give any of my money away because I might need it some way. That money we have in the bank is a gift. And I'm not saying don't save money, but generosity is really important. When we start accumulating wealth just to protect us for that potential rainy day, there's a limit that we can go beyond sometimes. And that's going to be different for each one of us. We've talked about that on the program before. What matters is that we trust God. Once we start trusting money more than God, we're going to be in trouble. Okay, the third lesson from the book of Job on suffering, it's a simple one. God allows suffering. God is all-powerful. And, you know, I've had people debate this with me, and I stand by this, and I am absolutely convinced this is true. Many of the saints express this too. If suffering is in your life, the Lord is allowing it to happen. He does not will evil. He does not will death. Death came into the world because of the original sin of Adam. But because God loves us, He allows suffering to enter into our lives. It can help us. I have yet to meet a person who prays more earnestly when things are going good than when things are crumbling. That's our human nature. So Satan's next plot was to afflict Job, and think about this, with severe boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Now that's pretty nasty, right? But it gets worse. To make matters worse, Job's wife was offering no help. You know her response when this happened to Job? Curse God and die. And then she accused him of some past wrongdoing and said, the reason that the Lord is making all this happen to you is because you did something in the past. Imagine that kind of support from Mrs. Job. But you know what? In spite of it all, in Job 2:10, here's what Job said. We accept good things from God, and should we not accept evil? That's hard. I'm not going to lie and say that's easy. That's not easy, but it's possible. So thank God, make the effort to thank God for your crosses today and for your suffering. I don't care if you don't feel like it. I don't care if it doesn't feel good. It's not going to feel good. But the more you do that, the more you accept that and say, the Lord's sending this into my life. I'm miserable. I hate it. I'm in pain. But thank you, Lord, because you know what's best. Just say it. It's a conscious decision. It's not a feeling. The more you do that, the more you are going to grow closer to Him and the more peaceful you're going to be. And you'll learn to trust more because you'll realize if it's happening, it's God's will. That was a line that Mother Angelica used to say. Honey, if it's happening, it's God's will. No matter what's happening in your life, God is allowing that to happen right now. And He can bring good out of it. And just thinking about that brings me peace. Fourth lesson from the book of Job on suffering. It's okay to cry out to God. Remember what I said? It's okay to cry out. It's not okay to turn your back on Him. Job 3:11. Speaking to the Lord, Job says this, why did I not perish at birth, come forth from the womb and expire? Job was saying to the Lord, why is it that you let me live? Why is it that I'm here? He's crying out. The book of Psalms are filled with these kinds of cries. Cry out to the Lord. Don't hold back. And you cry out to Him not because He's turning His back on you and not because you don't believe He can help you. When you cry out like this, you do believe He can help you. Like, come on, Lord, let's wake up. I need some help here. The fifth lesson from the book of Job, sometimes we are wrong. You know, many of us issue these proclamations, these all-knowing proclamations from our lips. We do this all the time. This is never going to work out. This is going to result in my complete failure. I will never get another job. I've been unemployed for a year and a half. I will never get a job. This illness, I can't possibly survive with this illness. I will never be able to go on because my husband died, my wife died. But you know what? Sometimes we can be wrong when we say that. Only God knows what will happen. And here's an example in Job 7:7. This is what Job said. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again. Guess what? He was wrong. Because at the end of the story, he did see happiness again. So just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. Remember that. So be careful what you say. You might think that this, whatever you're going through, is going to result in your doom. None of your problems have killed you yet. If you're able to hear this program, right? Am I honest? Is that the truth? Nothing has killed you yet. And we've all been through some situations that didn't ever seem, they didn't seem like we were solvable or we couldn't get through them. We made it. You could be wrong sometimes. Sixth lesson, God cares for his creatures. Now, these are the words of Job. Now, here is what's interesting about this. Job, at this point, is wallowing in self-pity. Because let's face it, this guy's had a lot go wrong in his life. And he's got no support. His friends are giving him a hard time. His wife is not supporting him. Job's wallowing in self-pity, and he might not realize it, but here he makes an important point. Job 10:8. This is what he said to the Lord. Your hands have formed me and fashioned me. Will you then turn and destroy me? You know the point Job's making here? That God cares for his creatures. He created you. He created me. He created Job. Why would he create us and not take care of us? It doesn't make any sense. And again, even though Job's at a really bad point right here, he's saying, you created me. Will you then turn and destroy me? That, to me, is the sign of somebody who's gradually beginning to come around and realizing that, and we've all been there. We start to think, well, the Lord's allowing me. He created me. He willed me into existence. He didn't have to create me. He created me. Why would he not take care of me? That is the beginning of when it turns around. I've been there myself. And I've been to the point where I realized, I don't know how this is going to work out, but why is it that God would create me if he's not going to be there for me? He takes care of the birds. They're not created in his image and likeness. He's going to take care of you too. Seventh lesson. I like this one. Life isn't fair. Job 21:7. Why do the wicked survive, grow old, and become mighty in power? It's a good question, right? Life isn't fair. Job is absolutely right. Life isn't fair. And if you're not sure about that, look at the crucifix and you'll see. So what's the best thing to do? Accept it. And realize that there's a bigger picture. This life, it's not all there is. Life is more than just our life on earth. And sure, it's not fair. There are people living in all kinds of comfort, eating whatever they want, money that they can't even count, good health. But there's also people who are living in poverty and who are suffering and who don't know where their next meal's coming from. Life isn't fair. And again, look at Jesus on the cross. Was it fair what happened to him? It's not fair. So let's not try to pretend that it is fair. Let's just accept that life on earth is just part of our complete span of life, which lasts for all eternity. And life isn't fair. The eighth lesson from the book of Job, look to the past. Sometimes when you're struggling to deal with a problem, when you're suffering, the best thing to do is look to the past and see how God has gotten you through this problem and the similar problems in the past. And then your confidence begins to build in him. And you realize that, well, he did it before, he can do it again. And if you can't find anything in your life, look to the lives of those people you know. And you can also look in the Bible and look how he has provided for his people for thousands and thousands of years. He's not going to desert you. Look to the past. Job 29:2. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me. See, Job is feeling like God isn't watching over him, but he is watching over him. But eventually, Job's going to get it, and we get it too. When we look to the past and realize that, you know, Lord, the Lord has gotten me through this or that or the other thing. And then the logic of that applies to the present. And we begin to reason and say, yeah, why wouldn't he help me now? Again, he created me. I've seen his work in my past. Why wouldn't he help me in the future? And as you start to do that, you begin to feel better. The ninth lesson for the book of Job, sometimes God is silent. Now, this is one that has driven me crazy for many years. It's probably driving you crazy as well. It's very common to let this drive you crazy. Job 30:20. I cry to you, but you do not answer me. Here's the neat thing about the book of Job. For the first 37 chapters of this book, Job is pouring out his heart to God. And what's God saying? Nothing. sometimes the Lord is silent. Now, in chapter 38, the Lord would start speaking to Job, and man, would he ever speak. Don't stop speaking to the Lord. He eventually answered Job, and he'll answer you too, but not until the time is right. The 10th lesson from the book of Job, God is God and I am not. I like this one. My friend Barb, this is one of her favorite sayings, God is God and I am not. I love this because we want to play God all the time. When God started speaking to Job after being silent for the first 37 chapters of the book of Job, here's what he said. Where were you, Job, when I founded the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Isn't that great? God is saying to Job, all right, Mr. Smarty Pants, you know so much. Where were you when I created the entire earth out of nothing? And God really laid into Job for the next few chapters. It's a really amazing story. God is God, you are not. As the founder of the universe, God really does know best. Give him the benefit of the doubt. So, it's pretty good lessons, right? And as we bring this program to a close, we only have a few more minutes. I want you to look at Job chapter 42, verse 12. Thus the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the earlier ones. In the end, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had prior to the trial. So there was a happy ending. There's a happy ending for us too. We might not see it in this life necessarily. What you're going through right now, it might pass in a day, a couple weeks, months, years. It might never pass in this life. But that's okay, because this life is not the end of the story. There's a bigger picture. When you get a chance, open up your Bible, read through the book of Job. It is an amazing, amazing story. Again, this blog post will appear in the National Catholic Register. Keep focused on my website, followingthetruth.com, and you're going to be able to see a link to it there. Again, thank you for listening to the show. I'm so grateful. Please, if you need anything, send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com, or just visit the website, followingthetruth.com. Click on contact, and you can reach me there. I also want to say, as we close this show, I need your help financially in order to keep my full-time ministry going. If you would be so kind, if my work has helped you in any way, if you would be so kind as to go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and consider making a donation. You can do it securely through PayPal, right through followingthetruth.com. That would really help me. If you'd become a monthly sponsor, you can do it for as little as $10 a month. That would be super important, because that helps me to have some sort of an income, a guaranteed income stream coming in each month, so I can continue to write and speak and do all that I do and to produce this radio program. So followingthetruth.com, just click on donate if you would be able to do that. And please keep me and my family and my ministry in your prayers, and I promise to do the same for you. Thanks so much for listening to The Gary Zimak Show. And I like to tell you this each week, and it comes from my heart. I really mean it. Until we meet again. This is your friend Gary Zimak, reminding you that wherever you go, whatever you do, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Why not, you might ask? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I look forward to joining you next week on The Gary Zimak Show. God bless you.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bach with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.